Hey, excuse me. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to Friday night's program, about 6.5 past the hour. I've been watching for the past 45 minutes or so the Hope for Haiti Now special that is running across the broadcast and cable spectrum. With one exception, of course, the entertainers, the actors, the rock and rollers, the musicians, the singers, who are raising money for Haiti relief. I have no idea how how it's going so far. But if you're interested in contributing, there's two ways you could do it. The phone number is 877-99-HAITI, 877-99-HAITI, or the website is hopeforhaitinow.org, hopeforhaitinow.org. Or 877-99-HAITI. I think it would probably be a good thing to do to make a contribution. It doesn't have to be, it can be $5. I realize nobody has any money except the elite in this country. But what is interesting to me is across the broadcast and cable spectrum, this is being covered except on Fox. I switch over to Fox News, and O'Reilly and Beck were sitting there in a little mutual masturbation activity about they have a gig coming up in movie theaters. Oh, that's nice, boys. And now Hannity and Karl Rove are on Hannity's program. It's astonishing to me. I can't think of the right words. Everybody making an effort in entertainment and broadcast, except this filthy, disgusting little corner of grime that is the Fox News Channel. It's astonishing. I guess this is where the right-wingers have to tune in tonight to immunize themselves against realizing that they are dead at the center, absolutely dead. I can imagine Republicans or right-wingers watching this special and feeling nothing and thinking, well, what's the big deal about? So Beck and this filthy O'Reilly and Hannity and the rest of these people are providing, I guess, a service in a sense for conservatives who are incapable of anything other than, their own self-centeredness. So anyway, 877-99-HAITI is the number, and the website is hopeforhaiti.org. I hope you'll take a second tonight to check them out. When Fox News Channel was doing its damnedest to get Brown elected in Massachusetts, remember what they were talking about. Vote for Brown if you want your stock values to rise. Do you realize that since since this guy was elected, the stock market has gone down 400 points? God, I hate them. I just hate these swine. I just hate them. I can't transcend it. I can't be Buddhist about it or Christian about it or whatever. I just hate these people with a passion that shocks me. So I have to laugh it off, right? Regarding the Supreme Court decision yesterday, which we will, was it yesterday? It seems like 100 years ago. We'll get to that a little bit later tonight, some more on that. A quote here from Abraham Lincoln, November 21st, 1864. I'm sure you've seen it before. It says, this is Lincoln, quote, "I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the sake of my country. Corporations have been enthroned, and the era of corruption in high places will follow. And the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudice of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed." End quote. We are there. That was 1864. So 146 years, Mr. Lincoln, is all it took. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Prescience of some of these people back in the almost two centuries ago, in the 19th century. The framers, as screwed up as they were, also warned against corporations, as did Lincoln. Until All wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed. Of course. Of course. We're there. Did you hear this stuff about Paul Harvey that was in the Washington Post today? Oh, my God. You know, Paul Harvey. And now, the rest of the story. Paul Harvey, good day. Remember him? You have to be of a certain age. He just died last February at the age of 90. But Paul Harvey was a voice on the radio all over the country. I think at probably the peak of his popularity, he was probably on just about every radio station in America at noon. Wasn't it at noon? God, I remember my parents listening to him. Everybody in the neighborhood I grew up listened to him. Well, guess what? He 24 million listeners a day. And I'm talking back in the 1950s. Do you realize the population of the United States in the 1950s was about 150 million? So Paul Harvey was reaching one out of every six people in the country. 24 million listeners a day. Well, previously confidential files show that Harvey enjoyed a 20-year friendship with crossdresser FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover. And in fact, Harvey often submitted advanced copies of his so-called radio news program for approval to J. Edgar Hoover. Harvey wrote to Hoover and his deputies regularly, and J. Edgar Hoover, in turn, helped Harvey with research. J. Edgar Hoover suggested changes in scripts prior to Harvey broadcasting them. As the Washington Post said today, the records underscore that the men shared deeply conservative convictions and a hatred of communism. Harvey's vast audience was a very intense interest to J. Edgar Hoover. You know, Hoover was such a freak. He and what was his lover's name? Tolleson? What was the guy's name? God, I'm drawing a blank. But Harvey used to dress up, J. Edgar Hoover used to dress up in women's clothing. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But he would put on undergarments and dresses and go out with his roommate, his boyfriend. And not there's anything wrong with that. J. Edgar Hoover, see, I'm getting him confused. Except for the fact that J. Edgar Hoover was a goddamn raving lunatic and would have done anything and did anything in his power to suppress gay folk, to destroy civil liberties, to be just a little evil little fascist. So he was very much interested in having a good image out there with Paul Harvey's 24 million listeners a day. And Harvey was the sine qua non where it concerned broadcast back in the, 40s, 50s, even into the 60s, into the 70s. He had a, 65-year-long career, I think. But anyway, J. Edgar Hoover wanted to make sure that all those people listening to Paul Harvey thought that he, J. Edgar Hoover, was this sterling character. Hoover never wanted his predilections for women's clothing and his predilection. Clyde Tolson, thank you, was Hoover's live-in lover, Clyde Tolson. And had that gotten out, of course, back in those times where, the word gay wasn't even used except in very tight circles within the homosexual community, it was really brutal for gay folk. Had it gotten out about Hoover and Clyde Tolson, the Republic could have collapsed. So here we are with Paul Harvey, who for decades played footsie with J. Edgar Hoover. Makes you wonder about some, I wonder if they ever got it on together. In April 1952, an Illinois Republican named Fred Busby, a longtime friend of Paul Harvey's, asked the FBI if he, Busby, could bring Paul Harvey to Washington, to thank J. Edgar Hoover. And an FBI memo said, quote, "You will recall that Harvey has a history of mental instability. However, he appears to be rehabilitated and is now very effectively anti-communist," end quote. How
can I explain why mommy's not here anymore? 'Cause daddy likes porno and $10 whores. Daddy gets wasted and robs liquor stores. Daddy likes rubbing against little...
Doing talk radio right, from the left, it's More Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. The number is 877-99-HAITI to make a contribution for the people in that country. Or you can go to the website hopeforhaitinow.org. And as you're listening to the program tonight, you might want to tune in across the broadcast spectrum. Just about every station out there, every network, every cable network is carrying this except one, Fox News Channel. They're too busy with their circle jerks and playing with each other. But anyway, the phone number again, 877-99-HAITI, and the website is hopeforhaitinow.org. So the Illinois Republican, Representative Fred Busby, asked the FBI if he, the rep, could bring Paul Harvey by to thank Hoover for all the wonderful things that Hoover had done for Harvey over all these years. And this is way back in 1952. And an FBI memo analyzing the crest of the request said, quote, "You will recall that Harvey has a history of mental instability. However, he appears to be rehabilitated and is now very effectively anti-communist," end quote. Paul Harvey told those present, they had a meeting, a Saturday morning meeting, and Harvey acknowledged that in the past he had acted rather foolishly, but he was on board now. Harvey told those present that he had always considered Hoover a great American, but that when he saw him in person, J. Edgar Hoover far exceeded his, Harvey's, expectations. I can imagine Harvey reaching over and patting him on the crotch, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know what I'm saying. A 1957 letter to Paul Harvey from FBI Assistant Director Louis Nichols says, quote, "For a number of years, you have been kind enough to send me your daily copy," end quote. Hoover, in one note, wrote to Paul Harvey, quote, "All of us in the FBI count it as a great honor to have you as one of our closest friends," end quote. And in 1973, when Clarence Kelly took over as director, Harvey's love affair with the Bureau continued without pause. Paul Harvey mailed Clarence Kelly a swatch of cloth and asked him to sign it so it could be sewn into a quilt for his wife, Angel, that would bear the signatures of all the people she most admired. Son of a bitch. I mean, really, every single right-winger who has ever sucked the blood and the life and the energy out of this country is insane. This latest round of freaks that America deals with, whether it's the suicider Beck or the drug-addicted child molester Rush Limbaugh or the loofah-loving sexual harassing his employees, Bill O'Reilly, or the little parrot boy, Sean Hannity, or all these crazy, they're all mad, aren't they? Huh? They're all crazy. They all hate the country. They're insane. They're just completely insane. And it goes all the way back to the heir to Father Coughlin, and that would be Paul Harvey, who in turn spawned all these scum-swilling right-wingers who infest the airwaves now as they perform their public service, right? Oh, my God. This is from somebody writing at vetvoice.com, vetvoice.com. He or she writes with the name Eyes Only. And the writer says, I've had a chance to sit down and read a bit, and among the articles I read was one in the New York Times, which was blogged about by one Richard Smith. The issue of don't ask, don't tell is one that I feel rather strongly about. Not as an issue of homosexuality, but rather one of liberty and freedom. Those values that we as a country say we believe in and send soldiers into harm's way for. I find it reprehensible that in our society we still withhold rights to all citizens. The choice to serve one's nation is not made lightly. And to disqualify someone due to sexual orientation clearly makes no sense to me. Bullets and IEDs don't really care who you are or what you do. They will kill you regardless. And then to say that the military is at war and this is not a good time, etc., for gay folk, that is not an acceptable excuse. Our force is stretched to the seams, and to turn away those who want to serve based on a ridiculous hatred does not pass the common sense test. Before the hour, if you would like to contribute to the Hope for Haiti Now, go to the website hopeforhaitinow.org, or you can call them 877-99-HAITI. And if you are like a lot of Americans tonight, you are watching this broadcast put together by singers, entertainers, musicians to raise money for the Haitian people. And every single dime that is raised will go to Oxfam for distribution among either directly or indirectly among the Haitian people. So there's only one broadcast outlet around the country that is not showing this tonight, and that, of course, is Fox News. And that's understandable because of the corruption of that network and the fact that they are Nazis. It is pointless to worry about other people, especially dark-skinned people, if you are a white supremacist and a good Christian and a Nazi. There's no need. You know, Haiti, Shmaiti. But it's interesting, isn't it? It is to me that of all the broadcast outlets, cable and over the air, only Fox News is refusing to show this special program. What a bunch of sons of bitches. I mean, right down to the lad, to the person who opens and closes the door for these swine as they walk in and out. Oh, well. Karl Rove has a book coming out. And there's a guy named Conan who is in Oakland, California, who is going to protest that. Hi, Conan.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. What's up? First of all, the book, Rove's book, and what do you plan to do about it?
Well, first of all, let me just say that Haiti is a hard act to follow, but I'm gonna do my best here.
Right.
But Karl Rove's book is called, if you can believe the audacity of it, Courage and Consequence.
Courage and Consequence from Karl Rove?
From Karl Rove.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That was about my reaction. So this quickly came together as a project that, boy, wouldn't it be great just to mess with him? And the model I had in mind with this was Sarah Palin's book came out, Going Rogue, and there was that other book, Going Rouge.
Going Rouge.
Very similar cover art. And it was just, you know, very critical of her. And if you put them side by side, they actually look very, very much, it'd be very easy to confuse one for the other.
Right.
Especially since your average right-wing book buyer is not exactly erudite in their comprehension.
Right, especially if the book is written in something other than crayon.
Exactly. Right. So rather than respond with a book, being a musician and someone who works with music and bands, I kept thinking about it. It started off as, I'll make a band and I'll do a one-off record that's just songs about how much he sucks and how horrible he is. And within not even a day, I had so many people interested in it that it had to become a compilation. There was no two ways about it. So what I've done is I've assembled this team of very awesome bands and I'm putting together this vinyl compilation. It's actually coming out on vinyl as well as a digital download called, the same thing as Karl Rove's book, Courage and Consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out more if you go to karlrovebook.net. Which, amazingly, for someone who is such a master media manipulator and kind of knows his market, not only was not available, but there's another guy that's not Karl Rove, that's karlrovebook.com. And these songs are all songs about him, about neoconservatives, things along those lines, and it's much like the Going Rogue versus Going Rouge thing. The artwork is even going to match pretty close to what the book looks like, which is to say his porcine face is going to be on it, and it's going to be quite majestic for culture jamming purposes and a very easy way for people to mess with good old Turd Blossom.
Okay.
So what we need right now is there's a multi-stage thing. Right now we're actually taking pre-orders for it, which helps put it out because it's entirely grassroots and donation-based. And again, if people go to that website, Karl Rove Book, .net, just all put together, they can place a pre-order for $20 that gets, first of all, helps make this happen, secondly, gets them a copy of the LP, and ostensibly helps put forward the end goal, which is ruining Karl Rove's special day, where he gets to do his victory lap around the different talk shows and talk about how wonderful he was and how the Democrats were to blame for everything. Blah, blah, blah. Of course, there'll be no questions about Don Siegelman. There'll be no questions about Mallory Plame. It should be him whitewashing everything that's going on. And this is a very interesting way for us in a very grassroots manner to answer that. And I'm going to be honest, I think it's a pretty darn good compilation, too.
Well, at your website, I noticed that there is a... I can't play it right now because we're on the air, but you have a video there. And is that part of the music?
Yeah, that's actually just a sort of little 2.5-minute video I put together that's ostensibly about the same thing as I'm telling you right now, just me kind of explaining the project and things of that sort. Where by, I would say, mid-next week, we should have some song samples up and a real website that will have ordering info, things along those lines. You can do it from where it's at now, which is there's a button, little green button that says donate. The lowest level you can donate, even a dollar, if you just say really hate Karl Rove, but you spent all your money donating to Haiti, or you know, geez, you're unemployed, you just don't have any money, but you want to stick it to him. You can give us a dollar to help help this out. But if you give more than that, you can get different rewards as things go on. And including the one $20 reward being that we're putting together a very nice vinyl package, and you get a physical record that you can either display or you can listen to, and it's going to be a very nice package. I just confirmed today that, are you familiar with the Rude Pundit at all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
he's actually going to help contribute to the liner notes, which is about as exciting for me as getting to talk to you tonight. So I'm very pleased with
all
that.
All right, Conan, the website is carlrovebook.net.
Absolutely.
Okay, I hope this project goes forward, and thanks a lot for letting everybody know about it, okay?
Hey, thanks for everything you do, and thanks for having me on, Mike.
All right, Conan, appreciate you checking in. That was not Conan O'Brien. It's Conan.
No, actually, I believe Conan's busy tonight.
I think he is, yeah. CarlRoveBook.net. Just check it out. Just, you know, that's all you have to do. Just check it out. See what this young man has. It looks very interesting. I think it's a great idea. So check it out. Are you still... if you're right winger, you couldn't care less. But I think normal Americans are still kind of reeling from that decision yesterday by the Supreme Court. Was it yesterday or was it the day before? Yesterday. A decision, as WSWS.org points out, is going to result in even greater corporate manipulation of elections, more open bribery and corruption. A legal blank check for corporations and the financial elite that controls them to openly purchase politicians and install them in power. That's it. Justice Kennedy, who wrote the majority opinion, said, quote, "We now conclude that independent expenditures, including those made by corporations, do not give rise to corruption or the appearance of corruption." Oh, my God. He said this. He went on, quote, "The fact that donors may have influence over or access to elected officials does not mean that these officials are corrupt," end quote. And the opinion goes on, and Kennedy quotes from some of his prior opinions to make the case for unrestrained corporate spending on elections. He says, quote, "Favoritism and influence are not avoidable in representative politics. It is in the nature of an elected representative to favor certain policies and, by necessary corollary, to favor the voters and contributors who support those policies. It is well understood that a substantial and legitimate reason, if not the only reason, to cast a vote for or to make a contribution to one candidate over another is that the candidate will respond by producing those political outcomes the supporter favors. Democracy is premised on responsiveness," end quote. This is the most twisted kind of illogic I think I've ever heard. Kennedy stretching the whole concept of representative democracy to the point where it snaps in his hands. I mean, he broke it. You could hear the crack as this whole thing snapped. If this is not an Orwellian characterization of democracy, I don't know what is. So the way we run things in this country now is going to be dictated by the predatory sons of bitches who set up hedge funds, financial institutions, insurance companies, pharmaceutical corporations. And Kennedy, Justice Kennedy, says democracy is premised on responsiveness. Not this kind, you psychotic son of a bitch. Not this kind at all.
Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new.
See you standing there.
Uh-oh, he just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. HopeForHaitiNow.org is their website. HopeForHaitiNow.org, where you can call to make a contribution, 877-99-HAITI. 877-99-HAITI. Spike in Mount Pocono, PA, who signs off podcast trivia champion. Gonzo, greetings, Mike. You are right. Fox News is not showing the telethon, but it's not just Fox News. All of Fox's cable networks are not showing it, including the wildly popular FX and Speed, a motorsports motor car channel. FX Speed has live from Arizona the Barrett-Jackson Classic Car Auction. There, ultra-rich executives, bankers, and famous a-hole celebs like Jay Leno and Reggie Jackson are paying up to $100,000 plus per car for things like a 1969 Dodge Charger. Oh, man. I'm watching the telethon live on Comcast Universal's G4 network. G4 is a network for the younger Americans, heavy on video games and porn-related television. Their most famous personality is Olivia Munn, and she's why I watch. Think about it. A network for video game and porn fans is showing the telethon, while Speed, a Fox channel, shows the riches of the rich urinating money on cars that you drove as a teen. Spike in Mount Pocono. Yeah, there is no depth to the sickening degenerate materialism in this country. And I'll tell you the truth. You know, it is devouring this country. Absolutely devouring it. Whatever soul might have existed here is disappearing, being replaced by this brittle, nasty right-wing Christianity that knows no mercy, no love, no compassion, and no justice. Man. All right. Coming up at the bottom of the next hour, we're going to have a podcast trivia and give away a subscription to the show. Back to the decision by the Supreme Court, 5-4 yesterday. According to the Supreme Court, when corporations spend billions manipulating elections and then they get the desired result, this is called democracy. That's according to Justice Kennedy. That's called democracy. Up to now, under established law and Supreme Court precedent, corporations were obliged to funnel their campaign bribes through so-called independent political action committees. This placed certain legal and public relations restraints on their manipulation of the electoral process, and now even those restraints are lifted. Now, keep that in mind. Under established law and Supreme Court precedent. Now, James Fallows, blogging at theatlantic.com, wrote today about Chief Justice Roberts. In his opening statement at his confirmation hearings in September 2005, this is what Roberts wrote. Judges and justices are servants of the law, not the other way around. Judges are like umpires. Umpires don't make the rules. They apply them. The role of an umpire and a judge is critical. They make sure everybody plays by the rules, but it is a limited role. Nobody ever went to a ball game to see the umpire. Judges have to have the humility to recognize that they operate within a system of precedent shaped by other judges equally striving to live up to the judicial oath. End quote. I'll be a son of a bitch. So he committed perjury. Chief Justice John Roberts. There was a handful of us back during the confirmation hearings four and a half years ago, who, this is back in the bad old Air America days, who begged, screamed, pleaded in our little Air America media outlets, please, members of Congress, members of the Senate, don't confirm this son of a bitch. He is a Nazi. He's going to be one of the corporatists who destroy the union. We begged. We pleaded. We tried to put everything out there that we could put out about how corrupt this son of a bitch is, was, and still is. To no avail, of course. Now, last September, during oral arguments of this case, Roberts was questioning Solicitor General Elena Kagan. And Kagan said, when corporations, this is a quote, use other people's money to electioneer, that is a harm not just to the shareholders themselves, but a sort of broader harm to the public, because it distorts the political process to inject large sums of individuals' money in support of candidates whom they may well oppose. And then Roberts challenged that argument. He said, isn't it extraordinarily paternalistic for the government to take the position that shareholders in these corporations are too stupid to keep track of what their corporations are doing and can't sell their shares or object in the corporate context if they don't like it? This is what Roberts said. Kagan responded that in a world in which most people own stock through mutual funds and through retirement plans, they have no choice. She added, I think it's very difficult for individual shareholders to be able to monitor what each company they own assets in is doing, end quote. Now, Kagan's response is the practical and real-world one. John Roberts turned out to be what a lot of us on the political left warned the whole country about, a lying, perjury-committing, rancid son of a bitch whose sole purpose in being installed and confirmed by Democrats was to destroy our political system permanently. And he succeeded.
Felix.
Don't forget, go to carlrovebook.net. carlrovebook.net. And check out Conan's website, the young man who called in tonight, the musician who is, go to his website. You'll see what I'm talking about. carlrovebook.net. Right? Guess what I have for you? Oh, no. Wait a minute. That music. Why, it's another Moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Oil. Welcome to the middle of the end. He writes, hey, Mike, back in October, I said I wasn't going to write any more of these things, but the United States Supreme Court made the psychopathic rules of the corporatocracy the law of the land, and I kind of snapped. You know, went a little funny in the head. For some reason, John Mitchell, Nixon's attorney general, came to mind. In 1975, before he was carted off to prison after being convicted of conspiracy, obstruction of justice, and perjury, Mitchell said, quote, this country is going to go so far to the right that you won't recognize it, end quote. Well, at the time, I thought that what he said was exactly the sort of thing a bitter old creep like John Mitchell would say on his way to the big house. But 5 years later, presidential candidate Ronald Reagan gave his famous states' rights speech in Philadelphia, Mississippi, where three civil rights workers were murdered. And ever since, it's been a 30-year-long nightmare ride to hell. When the Supreme Court removed restrictions on corporate financing of political campaigns, we have arrived. With the Dred Scott decision, the United States Supreme Court ruled that people of African descent imported into the United States and held as slaves and their descendants, whether or not they were slaves, were not protected by the Constitution and could never be citizens of the United States. In other words, people of African descent weren't legally people. And now, 153 years later, the Supreme Court has ruled that corporations are people. And that money is speech. This is so much more bizarre than Soylent Green is people. Following the Civil War, the Congress passed and the states ratified the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, all of which directly overturned the Dred Scott decision. Will two-thirds of the House and Senate approve the necessary constitutional amendments to overturn the Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission decision of yesterday? Will three-fourths of the states affirm the proposed amendment? Not likely, because the corporatocracy can now tell any elected official, if you vote for anything we do not approve of, we will spend unlimited amounts of money against your reelection, and if you vote the way we want you to, we'll spend all the money necessary to make sure you stay in office. And they do have the cash to spread around. Last summer, the healthcare industrial complex spent more than $1.5 million every day lobbying our elected representatives to thwart and distort any reform of the healthcare insurance system. $1.4 million every day. And that's just one sector of the corporatocracy. What reforms are needed right now to pull the country back from the brink? Well, in the words of Sarah Palin, all of them. Pick any sector, Wall Street, media, healthcare, the old standby, the military-industrial complex. It all comes down to this. Corporate power must be controlled and regulated by the people. But the Roberts Court ruled otherwise. So now, let the games begin. The audience of crazy, stupid Americans is primed and ready for whatever corporate America has to say. Remember, 61% of Americans don't believe in evolution. 47% believe the universe is less than 10,000 years old. One child in four grows up not knowing how to read. 21 million Americans can't read at all. 45 million are marginally illiterate, and one-fifth of high school graduates can't read their diplomas. 50% of adults cannot read a book written at an eighth-grade level. Nearly half of all Americans read so poorly that they cannot find a single piece of information when reading a short publication. These are the people who will vote for or against anyone the corporatocracy wants in or out. During the next presidential election, will we see a deluge of multimillion dollar political documentaries proving conclusively to crazy, stupid people that Barack Obama was born in Kenya and is probably a clone? That Democrats regularly commune with Satan? Or will there be a groundswell of support after a series of multi-million dollar political documentaries are shown on all the major networks to amend the Constitution to allow foreign-born citizens to be president so Arnold Schwarzenegger can run? Or will crazy, stupid people be satisfied with a Palin-Beck ticket? Who knows? That's what's so goddamn interesting about living in a country descending into madness. Anything can happen. Contrary to popular belief, the revolution will be televised, brought to you on Fox by whatever corporation is picking up the tab. What's left? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm tempted to steal into Arlington National Cemetery some dark autumn night when the moon is full and the wind is in the trees. I want to dig up John Mitchell and shake the hand of that rotting old soothsayer. How did he know that 22 years after he clutched his chest and fell to the sidewalk, gasping like a doomed carp, that our country was going to turn into something unrecognizable? Regards, with Bob, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. I'm sure that's probably the last one. And Roz in Canada writes, Mike, these judges on your Supreme Court sound treasonous to me as they appear to be bringing down your country. What do you do with traitors in your country? Also, most of these judges look so old, there's a good chance that a few might have senile dementia. Do they ever get checked? But no, to pull off a coup like this, they have to be very canny indeed. What do people of such advanced age stand to gain from this, I wonder? Can't be money. I guess they just have a real bad mean streak to hate America that much. If people stand for this, then they're just sticking their necks willingly under the corporate boot. Wages will sink dramatically and most rights will disappear. Do most people in your country really imagine this is just a glitch? Roz, I you know, I don't know. Like Bob points out, 61% of people in this country don't believe in evolution. I don't know. This is it's really turned into a strange place to be living. Strange indeed. And after being featured on four right-wing television shows in the past 3 days, and all four of them going after me because I had the absolute temerity to tell the truth, it might be time. The emails I got as a result of being busted on all four of these right-wing television shows, it might be time, if I follow what the emailers from these mouth-breathing sons of bitches suggested, it might be time to leave this country. It just might be. I have a five-year-old. I have a five-year-old child. Why would I want her brought up in this country? I also have grandchildren, but how do I convince my adult children to leave, to get out? What did the Germans say when they saw the rise of Nazism? The ones who got out, the Jews who got out, were smart enough to see what was going on. Oh, my God, they're going to kill us all. We need to leave. Don't take anything. Pack a suitcase. Let's go. Maybe it's time to go.
Outrage. Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment. If you're holding on, we'll be there very quickly. From Captain Mary, who writes, the rage and grief I experienced when I read about the Supreme Court decision were immense. But all I have left now is a terrible absence of feeling. I don't yet know what will emerge from that. This decision has effectively shown that all three branches of our government are controlled by corporatists and that the people's voice has been removed. In addition, these corporatists control most of our food chain, media, finances, healthcare, voting machines, and so forth. If this particular fascism elicits the same reaction that other fascist regimes historically have, America is going to erupt in bloody war. We'd hope that our son could leave the country, but that doesn't look possible now. I go cold thinking of what our young people will face. And the silliness of it is this. Have you ever read Emily Dickinson's poem, I Heard a Fly Buzz When I Died? In a somewhat parallel way, I observed that it was on my birthday that these Supreme Court bastards betrayed us. Cat Mary in Memphis. The poem is titled Dying. I heard a fly buzz when I died. The stillness round my form was like the stillness in the air between the heaves of storm. The eyes beside had wrung them dry, and breaths were gathering sure for that last onset when the king be witnessed in his power. I willed my keepsakes, signed away what portion of me I could make assignable, and then there interposed a fly. With blue, uncertain, stumbling buzz between the light and me. And then the windows failed, and then I could not see to see. Emily Dickinson. LPM writes, possible responses to Citizens United. That's the company that filed this lawsuit. And, you know, the lawsuit did not ask that First Amendment rights be granted. That was overreach on the part of the right-wingers on the Supreme Court, what they all vowed that they would never do. What they all vowed that they would never do. All the Supreme Court had to do was rule that Citizens United could not be denied to run their infomercial about Hillary Clinton and be done with it. But because that's all this Bossie, David Bossie, was petitioning the court for. But John Roberts and Samuel Alito and the other Italian, what's his name, on the Supreme Court, Scalia, and then of course Kennedy, and who is the fifth one? Oh yeah, the silent one, Uncle Clarence. They decided to push it. Why not? And did something that these right-wing vermin are always screaming about, activist judges. You filthy sons of bitches. Do you call this activist judges? Huh? Hey, suicider. Hey, drug-addled child molester. Hey, loofah boy. Hey, Mr. Parrot. LPM writes, okay, here are some possible responses to Citizens United. If corporations are persons under the Constitution, is that the same as the people, as in the right of the people to be secure in their persons, you know? A physical body's implied. Why don't they use the same tax form, 1040, that I use? Equal protection? I don't see a deduction for dividends on my form. Why aren't political contributions subject to the gift tax? An independent advertisement could be defined as an in-kind contribution. Political parties and election committees are corporations and therefore persons just like me. If someone gives me more than $11,000 in a year, I pay taxes on it. Oh, and they are overdue in registering for selective service. Failure to register makes one ineligible for federal employment and a security clearance. Let's draft them and force them to provide their products and services at cost for the duration of whatever war we're in. And since Private Jones has to leave his job when drafted, the drafted corporations should halt all non-defense related activity until discharged. Again, equal protection. Why aren't crimes of corporations imputed to the boards of directors? This could be addressed in state criminal codes. When Walmart comes to town and gets an abatement on its taxes, isn't that a violation of equal protection? If I don't get the same deal, we're both persons, right? Yeah, it's LPM. It's insane. I've never thought that a sitting Supreme Court of the United States of America would declare corporations to have the same rights, equal status before the court as a human being. Jesus Christ, how did this happen? But it has happened. And you know the first ones who are going to feel the full sting of this are these dumb right-wing conservatives who are cheering something they don't even understand. Just like the poor bastard that called in the other night and said, well, you know what really makes me angry? What's that? Cap and trade.
as Julie.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. You want to do? Let's do podcast trivia. You want to do that? No. Oh, that's right. These folks are holding on. All right, we'll do it after the next break. That's what we'll do. TC is in Cumberland, Maryland, listening on Sirius. Hey, TC.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Man, you're being really bad tonight.
I am. Yeah. I'm just being a bad, bad boy.
Yeah, you really are. Hey, listen, I've been to Haiti, and I was there in the late 70s, early 80s.
Mm.
And let me tell you, I was there with a missionary group, and it was pretty sad there.
Mm-hmm.
When we were bringing in medical supplies, food and things like that for the orphans, I mean, these guys, they don't even have running water out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have, I guess you might call technical type of folks. Technicals are like people riding around in little cars and carrying, you know, shotguns and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they would rob us.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I would say everything you're saying tonight, I would say take it with a grain of salt to your listening audience and look at the other side of it. Now, I know that there's a lot of things that's going on in America, and I don't.
Wait a minute. Take what with a grain of salt? Look at what other side?
Okay, the other side is that you're talking about a lot about the corporations and things like that.
Yeah. What other side would you like me to look at?
Well, the side that I will like you probably to look at, I'm over my 50s now. And at one point in time, I used to work for these corporate companies and things like that. And yes, they can be insensitive because the bottom line is stockholders are their God. You know, you got the people from the Ivy League schools and stuff like that. They look down.
Wait. That has nothing to do with the Supreme Court ruling. What the Supreme Court ruled was that there are no barriers any longer to dump millions, billions of dollars into our political system.
Right.
Hold on. To influence the way people vote. Now tell me the side of that you approve of.
I'm just saying.
No, wait. Just tell me what part of that you approve of. That's what the ruling was about. You don't have to give me all this other stuff you're talking about. What side of that do you approve of? What part of that ruling do you think is good for America?
I'm not sure, but I'm telling you.
No, you got to be sure. You told me that you wanted me to consider the other side. What part of that Supreme Court ruling do you think is good for America? Now, come on, be real. Don't go wobbly on me. You're the one that brought this up, pal, not me. What part of that Supreme Court ruling do you think is good for America and for you? What part?
All right. From what I'm to understand, as a business owner, you're taxed by the IRS as an individual. A corporation is an entity. And they are saying that.
No. A corporation is a person. That's what the Supreme Court ruled yesterday. A corporation has the same rights, TC, that you do, but not the same obligations. The corporation has a right under the U.S. Constitution to do the same thing you do, but they don't have to pay the taxes you pay. They don't have to obey the law you have to obey. They don't have to do anything you have to do where it concerns the obligations, but they have all the rights. Now tell me again, what part of that, TC, do you think is a good thing for America?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm speaking as an individual right now.
Okay, listen, TC, I can't keep playing these head games with you. I'm going to move on. A, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. B, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. C, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. What I would strongly suggest, TC, educate yourself, pal. Find out what... Oh, never mind. What am I talking about? Perez is in Santa Rosa, California, listening to Green 960. Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, buddy. I had to open a new bottle of red tonight. I just couldn't stand it any longer, buddy. Nice organic red. Very nice. Very, very nice.
Right, right.
But, you know, I called, and you were talking about it when I got off the line with Kathy and went on hold, and you were talking about exactly what I called about. I remember back in 2005 it was, 2005, I called every single senator at least once a day, and I called my Democrats, Pig Stein and Boxer, at least three times a day. Begged them. And remember what they said? Oh, we're going to hold our veto. We're going to hold the filibuster. We're going to save it.
Right.
For what? You maggots.
Right, absolutely.
I tell you, they're such cowards, Mike. They are such cowards, and I tell you, this is a grand experiment. And I'm afraid, why do these people, why do we always end up taking the lowest possible road? The road is going to be to dissolution. I just hope to God it's not as bad as Cormac McCarthy's The Road or one of his novels.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm concerned about. I don't know whether to feel more sad or more pissed off, and I think pissed off is going to win, Mike. I can't help it. You know, I think pissed off is going to win. I'm glad that what I own is not registered. I'll just say that right now. But I wanted to talk about the cowardice in these people right now. They had every chance to do this. And there's a book by Bugliosi called The Betrayal of America, where he talks about the 2000. They were out of their jurisdiction in 2000, the Supreme Court. And they can be impeached for bad behavior. They can be impeached,
but Perez, the impeachment has to arise in the House, the House Judiciary Committee. You know,
that's why I was laughing, buddy.
Right.
That's why I was laughing.
as in Bush Cheney, right?
It's just, and what we're seeing now is the evil, poisonous fruit of our no education about civics anymore.
That's right.
These people don't understand even the country they're living in. A lot of these people are born during Reagan. They don't know the damn difference, Mike.
No, they don't.
Just don't. Can I read you two small lines of poetry, buddy?
Go ahead.
Okay. This is by John Donne. For me, if there be such a thing as I, fortune, if there be such a thing as she, spies that I bear so well her tyranny that she thinks nothing else so fit for me.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought that would suit my mood tonight, buddy.
It is. That and the red.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Perez.
Well, I wish you were here, man. I'd have one with you. And tell Kathy thanks for the Ella Fitzgerald during the hold music. It was beautiful.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Perez.
Okay, buddy.
All right, take care. John in Raleigh-Durham writes, Mike, I suggest Tom Hartman's book, Unequal Protection, to anyone who is not schooled on the corporation as person concept and what the implications are. And the DVD, The Corporation, sheds more light on the situation we find ourselves in. John in Raleigh-Durham. Yeah, Hartman's book. Go to his website, Unequal Protection. And it'll give you a clear, concise. Hartman writes in a very understandable style. So go to his website, Unequal Protection. Kelly is in Berkeley listening on Sirius. Hey, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. Hey, could you talk about...
No, I'm Mike. You're Kelly.
Can you talk about the closing of Air America, the bankruptcy that happened
Which
today?
Time?
You the mean... final time. Which
oh,
is
the final to... time? Well,
yeah, what does this really mean?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No, it doesn't mean a thing. Air America, when it first was put together 5 or 6 years ago with about there's about eight of us that were involved in Air America, in terms of on-air people. There were some real righteous people that put the initial steps together. But those real righteous people were pushed out when they ran out of money and couldn't raise money, and the only people that would provide money were criminals. I mean, honest to God, right-wing criminals. So the company, Air America, was doomed from the beginning, and most of us knew it. We held on as long as we could while the criminals that ran the company rode it right into the ground. It went bankrupt. Some of us were left holding the bag for an awful lot of money. I was among them. Al Franken's among them. There were a bunch of us that when the first Air America filed for bankruptcy protection, Chapter 11, we were just left like, go screw yourself. And this is on back wages. When the second group took over, the Green family in New York, the billionaires, they refused to honor any kind of commitments that the first Air America had made. And they wrote it into the ground until they finally spent enough of their millions of dollars. And then they got out of it and sold it to somebody for $1 million. And that's the company that went bankrupt the other day. They had no radio expertise. There were only a handful of us at the beginning who understood radio and how to do it. So it was Air America's death is no loss to the country at all. It died several years ago when that first bankruptcy occurred. So its death is meaningless.
Okay.
All right?
I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. You're welcome, Kelly. For those of us that graduated from Air America, whether it's Al Franken or Rachel Maddow or in later stages, Tom Hartman or me or Randy Rhodes or whoever it was, Mark Maron or Sam Cedar, Liz Winstead, the people who bailed out and graduated from there, we're fine. We're doing real okay. Trust me.
Do you know where you are?
Once again, podcast trivia on the Malloy program, where it is possible to win a free one-year subscription to podcast downloads. I know. Sometimes we screw up. Sometimes the commercial will slip through. I know. I understand. Sometimes we have a follow-up here, and the first half of the morning download is something else. I understand, and I deeply apologize. This is a 25-cent program. This is a 2-bit radio program. You get it? That's what it costs you, $59.40 a year. You figure it. Now, tough. It's just to say that, yeah, sometimes we screw up. If we had the money that the pig man had, or, you know, the backers that the pig man has, then our podcast would never screw up. But that's just the nature of the beast. All right, here we go. Dee Dee is in Atlanta listening online. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi, am I?
How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Did you call me Dee Dee?
Say what?
Hmm?
What'd you say?
You call me Dee Dee?
Yeah, isn't that your name?
Edie.
Oh, Edie. Oh, it's Edie.
Yeah, it's Edie.
It's our Edie.
Yes.
Our Edie who moved to Alabama and then had to leave and come back.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad to be back, even if I am sleeping on the futon.
I hear you. All right. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. What award has Barack Obama never won? Is it A, the Nobel Peace Prize, B, a Grammy, C, an Emmy, or D, the NAACP Image Award? Which one of those has Barack Obama never won? Nobel Peace Prize, a Grammy, an Emmy, or the NAACP Image Award?
The Image Award.
The Image Award? You're right! Okay.
Great.
All right. Yeah, he won 2 Grammys for spoken word versions of his 2 books and an Emmy for his Yes We Can speech. Mm-hmm. So, way to go, Edie. All right.
That's wonderful.
Let me put you on hold.
Okay. Thank you.
And Kathy will get the pertinent information. Congratulations, Dee Dee. I'm glad you won it. Regarding leaving the country, Internet listener in Spring, Texas writes, Mr. Malloy, where can black African Americans escape to? What country will take us in? Or them in? Would the U.S. government allow them to leave? The answers to these questions can be found in the Katrina, Haiti, past, present, and future catastrophes. Beyond thinking, Spring, Texas. Yeah, well, true. Tony in Maine writes, Mike, January 21st, 2010, very sad day for democracy in America. You could say this is the day democracy died. Not sure what to say at this point. You and your listeners have known for a while that the corporatists have been running our government, but now they have the final feather in their hats, which was delivered by the same Supreme Court who gave us George Bush and his gang. So what do we do now? I've heard some say that a constitutional amendment needs to be put in place to reverse this decision. That's a laugh, because that would have to come from the same elected representatives who stand to benefit from the huge influx of money into the reelection coffers. That's not going to happen. I posted the story about the Supreme Court's decision on my Facebook page today, and guess what? I only received two comments. That's it. Then I looked at another post from a friend who wrote about the season finale of Jersey Shore, and that post got 50 responses. So that's what we're dealing with. Elected representatives who will not do anything to change this decision, and an American public that probably can name more members of an MTV reality show than they can name justices of the Supreme Court. I told you this before, and I certainly hope you consider it even more now, but you need to get out of this country, especially for your five-year-old daughter. Things are going to get worse now. Our only hope is that the Mayans were correct, and 2012 will wipe most of us out, and maybe that's exactly what we need, a clean slate. Tony in Maine. Well, just one minor correction, Tony. The Mayans did not suggest that in 2012 that we'll be wiped out. It just ended one of their frequent long-term calendars. That's all. There's, as far as I am aware of, there is no prediction of catastrophe. It's just that that particular calendar stopped, and the Mayans disappeared before they had a chance to make another one, I guess. I wouldn't worry about 2012, Tony. I really wouldn't. And maybe you're just kidding. I don't know. Kathy writes, regarding Hartman's book, it's being rewritten. The new edition is supposed to come out in May, so don't buy it now. Oh, about the corporate takeover. Yeah, okay. Wait until May. Don't buy Hartman's book now. Wait, wait, wait. And from Eric. Hi, Mike. Buy more canned goods, dig a hole, and evoke the three-gun rule. The three-gun rule is one for home, one to turn over to the government, and one to bury in the bush. Question, if a corporation is a person, are they subject to the death penalty? If so, can we execute Exxon or send all the shareholders and management to jail for things like negligence and manslaughter? Also, does this mean I can sell shares of me on the stock exchange now? Sheep. The cowed sheep. Eric. The three-gun rule? I haven't heard of that one. I would say it's more like a 10-gun rule. One for home, one to turn over the government, and eight to bury in the bush. Right? Huh? Yeah, okay. Well, I think, was it Roz? There's one of our writers tonight suggested that the when fascism has taken hold in other countries, it has resulted in bloody revolt, bloody resistance. And nobody wishes that on the United States, but I don't know, man. It's pretty weird. All right, we'll be back after this break. So if you're on hold, stick around. We'll get to your call. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Welcome back. Seven past the hour. This is the Molloy Program. And again, thanks to the four right-wingers on Fox and MSNBC who provided all this free publicity for me this past week. I do appreciate it. You guys are wonderful. Ron is listening on XM Driving in Birmingham. Hey, Ron.
While I start driving, I pull off the road right now for the night. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good, sir. Listen, I just wanted to let you know, listening to you for a very long time, I'll put my two cents about what happened yesterday. But before I do, I just want to let you know personally that you and another guy who listened to the radio in Miami for over 20 years are the only persons on the radio that ever brought up December 12th, 2000 as the worst mistake that this country has ever made as far as the citizens go. And I'm telling you, Mike, as bad as yesterday was, and pardon me, I stutter a little bit, you know, nothing surprises me anymore, man, because that night, I mean, still to this day, I keep asking myself, how is it possible, Mike, that five judges can come along and tell 50.5 million citizens of this country to go screw yourselves? We're going to select illegally and unconstitutionally select who's going to be the president of this country. So since that day, Mike, I mean, what happened yesterday? Yeah, it happened, and I was driving down the road. I'm just sitting here shaking my head, scratching my head. But I just want to commend you and this other guy called Neil Rogers on the radio in Miami. I don't know whether you were ever heard
of him. Oh, yeah, Neil and I used to work for the same company, Cox Communications, when I worked here in Atlanta, and he was in Miami on WPLG.
But he unfortunately retired.
Right.
But I'm telling you, Mike, everybody's getting all psychotic and, you know, which is normal. But ever since that, and so ironic, you know, everybody listening to the sound of my voice, ask yourself this, how pathetic is it? You have these young kids in a theocracy like Iran dying on the streets for an election trying to attain freedom. And here we are, had it for 200 plus years. I mean, still, Mike, to this day, I'm just, and by the way, you know, I just want to refresh people's memory of the 67 counties in Florida, and this is a fact, you can Google this or do whatever the hell you want with it, of the 67 counties in Florida, do you know how many counties actually did the second mandatory recount?
I do not.
28. And still, Miami-Dade County, or as the locals call it down there, or we call it Miami Banana Land County, that entire canvas, because Tom Bliss and his hoods down there, you know, yelling, let us in, that entire canvas didn't even bother doing the recount. You know, I'm trying not to rehash this, and you can tell by my frustrations, you know, but still to this, but that's how much I love this country, Tom. Mike, pardon me about that 40 slip.
That's okay.
But still, to this day, it boils my blood, and I thank you, you know, because you are the only one besides Neil that, when you get the chance, bring that issue up. Everybody else is jokes about it, yucks it up, all your sore losers, all this other happy horse crap. But still, Mike, to this day, and you have these young kids in Iran dying on the streets because they knew that something was not right in that election. So I just want to embarrass anybody to listen to the sound of my voice. What does that say for us as citizens of this country and this democracy? That you have these young kids dying over there fighting to gain a democracy because they knew something was not right with that election, and still isn't right to this day. But here we are, you know, what happened on that day, December 12, 2000, and we just blew it up like, oh, well, you know, Gore this and just blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just beyond me, Mike. But, you know, what happened yesterday, yes, it happened, and it's sad. But I was just driving down the road, just with Stephanie Miller when the news broke yesterday, and I'm just shaking my head saying nothing surprises me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ron, I get it. I really do. I get it, and I think you're right. December 12th, 2000 was the day that democracy was murdered by basically the same Supreme Court that today grabbed the corpse out of the coffin and set it on fire. But I hear you. Thanks, Ron. Thanks. Kind of off topic, but the decade ending December 2009, that's, you know, a month ago, the decade ending in 2009 was the warmest on record. That's according to figures released yesterday by this commie lying organization, NASA. That's, you know, that's what the swine herds on talk radio and television, that's what they will say. NASA! The agency also found that 2009 was the second warmest year since 1880, when modern temperature measurements began. The warmest year was 2005. And the other hottest recorded years have all occurred since 1998. James Hansen, director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, said that global temperatures varied because of changes in ocean heating and cooling cycles. He said, quote, when we average temperatures over 5 or 10 years to minimize that variability, and by the way, he's one of the world's leading climatologists, we find global warming is continuing unabated, end quote. Well, of course it is. Marge is in Maryville, Indiana. Where you been, girl?
Figuring out how to impeach the Supreme Court.
Right. Well, call Nancy Pelosi's office.
Yeah, well, they can't seem to pass gas, so I mean, what can I tell you?
Yeah, really. So, What's up?
Not a hell of a whole lot. I was thinking about you a couple weeks ago and wondering if you lived in Chicago long enough to learn to remember how to drive on ice, or whether you just took the lid off the garbage can and slid down the mountain.
No, I learned how to drive on ice back in Toledo, Ohio, which is just a smaller version of Chicago.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. You're really a northerner.
Yeah. No, I managed to do just fine down here last week when we had about an inch and a half of melt or snow that melted into just, it was just so slick down here. It was a lot of fun watching.
It must have been pretty good because they were showing pictures on my television, and I thought,
right.
Oh.
Right. Don't forget, the most snow that occurred down here, not in the Metro Atlanta area, but outside Metro Atlanta, was an inch.
Oh, gee. Can you handle all that?
I remember one time when I was living in Chicago, Marge, and we came home back here to Atlanta for the holidays, and we were driving back from Atlanta to Chicago. We got on I-65 over in your neck of the woods,
mm-hmm.
and it was horrible. I mean, we watched cars spinning out. By the time we got to Chicago, 23 inches of snow had fallen.
Yeah, that would have...
That was 1990...
Was that
I think it was 98.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, there was a couple of them. You should have been here for 67. Oh, my God.
All right, now
that
listen.
That was the first time in my life I ever got a snow day. It wasn't from school. It was from work.
It was from work. Huh?
Can I get my mom on the phone? Because she loves the Weather Channel.
All right, Marge, where are we? Here we are. Yeah, people tuning in going to go, oh, my God, listen to this dumbass liberal.
Well, yeah, you know, with all the crap that's going on, I mean, even Greg Palast is sending his rants from all the way from London about the Supreme Court hearing. You know, the Chinese, the Saudis, you know, they're all going to be casting their ballots on our election. Don't you just love the thought?
Yeah. Oh, God.
And they get this Dumkopf from Massachusetts that poses in the nude.
Now you know you liked that picture. Come on.
The only place I saw it was on David Letterman.
You know you liked it.
Well, I'm getting kind of old, but it wasn't bad.
Hold on a second. I got to put you on hold. I'll come back here in a sec. We got to take a quick break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
One, two.
time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. We're talking with Marge in Maryville, Indiana. All right, where were we?
Well, I was going to tell you about a new book I just picked up today. It's called The Death and Life of Journalism in America by Robert McChesney and John Nichols.
Mm-hmm. John Nichols of The Nation?
I do believe, yeah. And McChesney is a professor someplace.
Right.
He's written other books on journalism.
Mm-hmm.
But, what's his name? Berlusconi from Italy bought up all the newspapers and all the TV stations, and then he ran for prime minister. And, of course, there wasn't anybody that said anything bad about him, so he won.
Right.
You know, that's what we have in this country. You know, Verizon owns CBS, Comcast owns NBC, Disney owns ABC, and of course there's that.
Well, Citadel owns ABC now, and they just filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, whoa, where did I miss that? Okay, all right.
Disney sold off their broadcast division. They kept some kind of an interest. I'm not sure what the particulars are, but Citadel owns the network that provides so much of Hannity, Beck, Limbaugh, and they're going bankrupt. They filed for Chapter 11 protection.
Is that for real, or are they just trying to cover their backside?
No, it's for real. It's for real. I don't know what the particulars are because I don't follow Citadel, but...
I missed that one.
Yeah, it just happened, I don't know, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
And then there's our good buddy at Fox, you know, that Fear and Balance, yeah, right. But, you know, there's... When I first heard the quote, I thought I was absolutely convinced it was Thomas Jefferson. But I did some digging and was actually Edmund Burke, born around the same time, 17-something or other.
Mm-hmm.
It's the duty of the Fourth Estate to maintain an informed citizenry.
Right.
And damn, the citizenry of this state is so poorly informed about just about anything except maybe baseball. And what's his face from Minnesota? You know, that's 40 years old and can still throw a football. Isn't that great?
You're talking about Brett Favre?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Well, I kind of liked watching him beat the hell out of Dallas the other day.
I can't say that I object to that. And, you know, God love him. You know, let him go on and win the title again. And then hang it up for real this time.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, that seems to be the only thing that people are interested in.
Yeah.
And when it comes to their own country, and take it one step further, the school books that seem to be selected and chosen, and I don't know if they're published down there, in Texas,
mm-hmm.
They're taking out any reference to the labor movement.
Sure.
Substituting things about Gingrich. And,
they're taking out everything about the United Farm Workers, Cesar Chavez, and Chavez, believe it or not, was kind of a conservative. He was just working for the rights of vegetable pickers to be paid a decent wage. But yeah,
about farmers. There's been an ad running. I don't know if you've seen it in your neighborhood, but they show, you know, the fields, the vast fields, and
right.
They show this farm family, you know, daddy, mama,
right.
And a couple of kids in blue jeans and like that, and they're sort of walking along the edge of the field, and then they see, you know, that America is, you know, put together by the good farm family. And you look at the bottom, the print on the bottom of the ad, you know who's paying for it?
Ooh.
Monsanto. Ain't that a crock of crap?
Well,
I mean, 30 years ago in the 80s, when all these farmers were losing their butts,
right.
You know, going broke and bankrupt, who was buying them out? And now we got these giant farm, you know, where they've got ponds and ponds of pork manure that's smelling up the whole county.
Plus, they're putting frog genes in your popcorn.
Oh, really? I missed. When did they do that?
Well, they've been doing it. All kinds of genetic recombinant technology is being used. So when you eat a bowl of popcorn now that has Monsanto frog genes in it, you'll hop around as you're watching television. Boing, boing, boing.
Maybe I ought to try some more of that. My knees are getting a little bit old. Maybe it'd help.
Marge, I got to put you on hold. Thanks a lot for checking in.
Take care, my friend.
All right.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Behave yourself. Oh, my God. Behave herself? Got a letter here from Byron in Joplin, Missouri. Haven't heard from Byron for a long time. All right, when we come back, Mike, been listening now for almost 25 years. It's me, Byron from Joplin. I don't think we've seen as much blank as we are now experiencing, have we? Can this time really be worse than Nixon, worse than Kent State, worse than Chicago 68? Me think the rats are winning, and I don't want to play anymore. Sometimes I think George Carlin had it right. Don't vote. It only encourages him. His thinking was that if you vote, you have no right to bitch, whereas those who don't vote should shout out loud. I would, but I'm all shouted out, man. Listening on the web and the station out of San Francisco, say hi to me. Does wonders for my ego. Hi, Byron. Glad to have you as a friend. Also, the fat redhead did a number on you the other day. Didn't like it. We'll never watch or listen to him again, the pig. Always listening, Byron from Joplin. You remember, the truck driver? We'll be back after the break. Fat redhead? Who in the hell is a fat redhead?
I am a patriot. Country that's safe, in a land that's clean and free, for every color and culture, every person, every belief. Your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna push me around. I'm gonna use the power.
Voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. Reg sends me a little snippet from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. This kind of ties into what Marge is talking about. What are the authors of the children's book, Brown Bear, What Do You See?, and a book written in 2008 called Ethical Marxism, The Categorical Imperative of Liberation. What do those two books have in common? Well, both are written by somebody named Bill Martin, and for now neither book is being added to Texas school books. In their haste to sort out the state's social studies curriculum standards last week, the State Board of Education tossed children's author Martin, who died in 2004, from a proposal for the third grade section. Board member Pat Hardy, who made the motion, cited books he had written for adults that contain, quote, very strong critiques of capitalism and the American system, end quote. Trouble is, the Bill Martin Jr. who wrote the Brown Bear series never wrote anything political, unless you count a book that taught kids how to say the Pledge of Allegiance political. The book on Marxism was written by Bill Martin, not Jr., a Bill Martin, a philosophy professor at DePaul University in Chicago.
Well, goddammit, that brown bear. Bear, that's Russian, isn't it? Yeah.
Linda writes, Mike, I just wanted to say that I noticed looking around the stage at the fundraiser for Haiti that there wasn't one of these right-wing Christian do-gooders to be seen. Not one. All I saw were those damn bleeding heart liberals again trying to raise money for those pesky dark-skinned people. Love your show, Linda. Steve the banker writes, Mike, well, here we are in Scott Brown land, the newest corporate fascist supporter, the 41st vote. I hate to report, but of the 10 Democratic congressmen here in Massachusetts, zero Republicans, the best two, Delahunt and McGovern, may not win re-election this November. But the Supreme Court ruling was more damaging to whatever is left of our democracy than the Scott Brown election. At least the election can be reversed in 2012. But that ruling won't be overturned unless the miracle of an Obama re-election. With a renewed Republican Party, watch out for skyrocketing oil prices and an insurance industry unleashed on the American public, ready to put as many Americans 6 feet under economically as possible. It's not good, but war is still the biggest issue. Steve the banker. Yeah. Stephen is in Burbank, California, listening to KTLK. Hey, Stephen.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
You know, I got Sirius Satellite just so I could listen to you when KTLK goes to sports.
Well, good for you.
And if the world ends in 2012, I'm wondering if I can get a prorated refund.
Who are you going to write to and ask for the money?
Well, you know, these are mysterious life questions.
Yeah, that's true. Very mysterious. Yeah, yeah.
So what's happening is I'm confused as to why the Gang of Five on the Supreme Court just doesn't rule that the Constitution is unconstitutional, dissolve the executive, dissolve the legislative, and just, you know, let everything run hog wild. And they can appoint their successors from the Heritage Foundation. You know, they can hire Blackwater XZ as a national police force. They can, and think of the cost-benefit analysis. I mean, you know, elections cost money, and you got to give money to the TV stations to run the ads and all that. It's, you know, it's the same thing as taking money out of the front pocket, putting it in the back pocket.
Yeah, well, don't make light of it, Stephen. That's coming. It's coming.
I know. We're just trying to figure out how to adapt to it. As for going to other places, you know, I mean, these tentacles, this octopus, these rabid hyenas, you know, they'll go everywhere. If we do have to leave the country, we have to, you know, go to some place that doesn't have oil, doesn't have a lot of natural resources to plunder, you know, some place that they really don't have their eye on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just get a boat and live in water world or something like that. What could we do?
Yeah, I hear you.
Whatever.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Steve. Steven, take care. Prairie 2 writes in, the weekly report card here. Initial unemployment claims jumped sharply last week as outsourcing continued unabated. The weekly number is again approaching 500,000. And since 350,000 is considered neutral for job losses, as this is without accounting for the need to create 150,000 new jobs each month just for new workers. Non-government union membership dropped 10% last year, the biggest drop in a single year since the heyday of Ronald Reagan. Stock market gave up 5%. In the past 3 days, as investors feared the worldwide market bubble would be coming to an end. Wall Street would normally be up on news of higher unemployment since this means wage inflation will be kept in check. The Fed has even been reassuring the business community that their 30-year policy of linking inflation to unemployment numbers is proving correct. In fact, the two numbers have never moved in sync before the current crisis, and really, they still aren't. We are teetering on the edge of runaway deflation. And that's what is keeping the trillions the Fed is injecting into the banking economy from producing the expected inflation, not the savaging of the workforce by ruthless corporations. Four banks have been seized so far today, but the FDIC makes no secret that they expect the pace to pick up dramatically. Small and medium banks are heavily burdened with commercial loans, and they have a much longer reset term than home mortgages that are typically reset after 2 years. Home foreclosures had doubled in number last year over a really bad year before that. The number of foreclosures is expected to double again this year. This will put even more people underwater, as this will continue to drive down prices. It is impossible to borrow money to build a house, since the value of the house will be less than it costs to build. Without a real economy, that's not going to change. Historically, it takes 10 years to recover from these things, but often governments change in the interim. Ours just changed to the corporate form. In the 1920s, it took the Italian Parliament 2 years to realize they had been put out of business by the corporations, and then they just went home. Congress hasn't quite caught on, but it's starting to sink in as they grasp that their campaign war chests aren't even tip money compared to what their corporate masters can bring to bear, not to mention the stranglehold a handful of companies have on the media. Prairie 2. Yeah, it's not looking very good. It really isn't. I cannot believe that the organization that destroyed this country, I mean really destroyed it, two battles, December 12th, 2000, and the 21st of January, 2010, was the United States Supreme Court. It was not an invading army. It wasn't even the dolts on right-wing radio and television. It was the United States Supreme Court in two moves, utterly, completely, and finally destroyed representative democracy in this country. It is gone. Get some popcorn, sit back, and watch what happens in the next election cycle, which is coming up now, 2010, November. New York Times today called it the court's blow democracy, with a single disastrous 5-4 ruling. The Supreme Court has thrust politics back to the robber baron era of the 19th century. Wow. Keith is in Alberta, Canada, listening on Sirius. Hey, Keith.
Hi, Mike. I just have a couple suggestions for how to deal with the Supreme Court thing.
Okay.
The first one is for President Obama, next Supreme Court appointment, appoint a corporation. That should make the point. It would never get confirmed, but it would certainly make the point.
Yeah, you're right.
And number two is embrace it. Get the vote for corporations, you know, because otherwise you're stifling their free speech, right?
Right.
If they can't vote. And then corporations aren't that expensive to set up, and then every American citizen just go and create a couple hundred and get to vote 200 times, right?
Yeah, well, that's very true.
And number three is run a corporation for Congress. And, you can – this is the first one I ever thought up a few weeks ago. Is you could actually get a couple people maybe change their names where their initials are IM. And then one change their last name to bought, and the other one paid for, and then put them in the same office, the same desk, and then their letterhead could be, you know, from the desk of bought and paid for.
Yeah, that's
we come with our own lobbyists.
Yeah, we are lobbyists are us. Those are great ideas, Keith. Hey, listen, one very quick question before we have to break here. What's Vancouver, British Columbia like? Is it beautiful there?
Yeah, it is actually, it's a little rainy.
Right.
I think it's probably like Seattle quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay.
You're talking Vancouver, the city, not the island.
Right? Yeah, I'm talking the city, right.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, all right, good. All right, Keith, thanks for checking in, man.
Yep.
Take care. Great. We'll be right back.
MJ's mojo when passing Timberlake. That's why Mike hung his little boy out to dry. No clothesline like he's about to fly.
10 before the hour, thanks to our crew, Sharon Gordy, Bruce Enberg, Kate Petrini, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Catherine Bay, who produces and engineers the program. Jeff is in DeKalb, Illinois. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good evening, Mike. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I just want to call and say that you know, as soon as I found out that they were going to hear this case, I knew which way they were going to go. You know, the rule of thumb is if it benefits corporate America at the expense of the working class, the Supreme Court will decide on, you know, will come down on the side of corporate America.
Yeah, this one for sure.
I really haven't put much stock in the ballot box, you know, as a way for the working class to get anything done. And really, if folks would back away from the Kool-Aid, of Obama, I think they would see that basically he is, as Paul Street called, the empire's new clothes. My point is that I don't think that the social and political activism of Americans should be limited just to ballot box. Our ancestors certainly did get, I can't think of too much from the ballot box. You know, it went back to the IWW and the suffragettes and things like that.
Right.
Any time the masters gave us anything, including the 40-hour week, time and a half and all that, it was because of the fear, real or imagined, that there was going to be blood in the street if they didn't do something. FDR certainly knew that. He was not a socialist. He was a capitalist. And he was smart enough to say, hey, this whole thing is going to come crashing down. We have got to do something, basically, to shut him up. It wasn't, you know, through the ballot box, got this by itself. Again, it was the fear that if they didn't give in, that there was that it was all going to come down, and basically, you know, we outnumber them type of thing. They didn't want a replay of the French Revolution, so to speak. So, you know, I would hope that this serves as an impetus to get folks, you know, into the role of real activism.
Well, I, you know, Jeff, I hope so too. But I, you know, I just don't have a lot of faith anymore. There are laws on the books that were put there during the Bush years that absolutely classifies street demonstrations as acts of terror against the state and can be treated as such. All the groundwork was laid. Barack Obama was elected. I don't think he was complicit in the election to utterly and completely destroy democracy in this country. You know, that he would preside over it while the Congress and the Supreme Court did the dirty work. But he's there anyway. There's not a whole lot he can do. But with these laws on the books, these anti-terror laws, so-called, workers that go out on strike can be charged under the right circumstances with an act of terror against the state. Now, I know what you're talking about. It is the old, there are four boxes for use in the defense of liberty: soap, ballot, jury, ammo. Use them in that order. And I think that's what you're referring to. And I know in a more in a time in this country that was a lot more raw than it is now, of course, there were less people. Considerably less people, and we were not an industrialized, polluting, sick, materialistic, screwed up society. We were still mostly agrarian, mostly farms, mostly small towns, and there was not the concentration of people, and since there was not the concentration of people, it was harder to govern people then. There were no political machines that could be put together. Yada, yada, yada. You know, this is the kind of stuff you can get this from the Hartman Show. But I'm just saying, there are four, you know, the old saying, four boxes to use in the defense of liberty. You know where we are. Soap box, ballot box, jury box, ammo box. So, what can I say? Linda's in Buffalo, New York, listening online. Hey, Linda.
Hi, Mike. Good to talk to you.
My pleasure. You know, I hate to do this. We have a minute and a half.
Oh, I know. I don't have long.
Okay.
I just wanted to check in with you and, you know, agree with you in the fact that we've just been chipped away from within. And it's just sickening, and how much I agree with you on not liking these people. We've got to just stick together and organize as best we can, and like you say, get out the popcorn and watch the next election cycle.
Yeah, anybody who has any doubts about what the Supreme Court did to us yesterday, all they'll have to do is just pay attention to what happens starting probably around, what, June, July, when the attack ads begin.
Right.
And even as we speak, you know this as well as I do, once that Supreme Court decision was rendered, the big shots, the people who own America, financially, sat down and have decided now to complete the circle and own it completely politically. They've owned about 80% of it politically, but
it's
now
complete now, like you say.
Right. Now the circle is closed. And even as we speak, these corporate predators are figuring out the best way to go, who they're going to back, who they're going to support.
Who they're going to flood everything with.
Yeah, that's
We're not going to be able to you just have to plug your ears.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to be relentless.
Well, just remember what I just said. There are four boxes for use in the defense of liberty. Soap, ballot, jury, ammo. Use them in that order. Thanks a lot, Linda. I appreciate you checking in. We're just about out of time. For those of you who pay any attention to this program in Minneapolis, St. Paul area, I'll see you tomorrow night. Blue State Bash. Yeehaw! Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.